The message you're about to listen to is a recording from God's Favorite House. It is our prayer that you listen, your life will be transformed, and you will be taken to greater heights in your walk with Jesus. Amen. God bless you as you listen to this message.
So today, to bring the word of God to us, is the member of the governing council of GFH. So let's put our hands together for the Lord as we welcome Reverend Kole Olofoye to bring the word of God to us. Let's celebrate God as he comes to take the word.
Praise the Lord. Lovely. Praise the Lord. Thank God for being here with us. Thank God for being in perfect control. Thank God for our salvation. We thank God for his goodness, for his faithfulness. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. And we rejoice in your love, your power, your wisdom, your goodness. You are our all in all. Thank you, Father. Lord, we commit ourselves to your hands today as we share your word. Anoint the speaker, anoint the hearers, minister to us by yourself in the name of Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. Amen. Please confirm that you are hearing me well. Very well. Okay. Thank you. Because it's a bit less loud than in the first service.
Glory be to God.
So today we will be talking about surprises. Surprises. Amen. And we'll be starting with Oga Patapata, and that is Jesus. And in that, at the peak of his life's mission, he asked the Father a question. Matthew 27:46. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani." That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And some people thought, oh, he was calling Elijah to help him. But he was not calling Elijah. And he was not acting a drama script. He was surprised. He was shocked. He was shocked because instead of me telling you why, let's look at it from the scriptures. Okay? Why did the Father forsake Jesus? Jesus didn't make a mistake that he was forsaken. No? He was actually forsaken. But why? You see that in 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Jesus was made sin. Although he was not sinful, but he was treated as the embodiment of human sin so that we can be treated as righteous. This continues in Isaiah 53, 4 to 6. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, but he was wounded for our transgressions. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And then in Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Now, Jesus knew that he would die. He knew that he would rise again. How did he know that God forsook him? It's not because he was dying on the cross. It's not because he had been beaten. Okay? It's not because of all those things. So, how did Jesus know that God forsook him? So, let's look at that. The thing is that all along, he beheld the Father's face continually. Jesus always beheld the Father's face, no matter what. Okay? John 5:19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, this also doeth the Son likewise. So the Son was always looking at the Father to see what the Father was doing. And whatever he saw the Father do, he would do. Okay? So that is how he knew that he had been forsaken. Because all along, whatever he was going through, when he looked at the Father was with him, and they were together in it. But at that time, on the cross, he looked at the Father, but the Father had turned his back on him. The Father was not with him at that time. The Father disconnected, shielded him off, turned his back. Why? It was a priestly action. The lamb was being slaughtered to take away the sin of the world, and the soul that sinned, it shall die. The wages of sin is death. Death means separation from God. That was the real death. That was the real price that bought us from our sin. God separated himself from Jesus at that point in time. But before that point in time, Jesus did not know that that will happen. That's the difference. He did not know. Why was this thing in tongues? Because it was purely between Father and Son. It was not for the congregation. The congregation had no business understanding it. So that's why it was in a language that they did not understand. The only other person that understood it was the Holy Spirit, and he was the one that revealed it in the scriptures. He was asking a question. Why have you forsaken me? He didn't say, why are you forsaken? He said, why have you? It was a conclusive thing. That was the separation from God, the wages of sin that he paid for us. He was made sin, who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Something was happened, and I was very afraid at this fire of the spark of fire in the eyes of Jesus. I had led someone to Christ who had lived in really terrible sin. Really terrible sin. And she had confessed everything to me, so I knew how terrible those things were. And nobody forced her to confess it. So when I led her to Christ, I was not looking for a church to send her to. This was in the early 70s. Sorry, in the early 80s. So, I looked at my own church then. I said, my own church was too funky. You know, funky people, you know, real grooving, pull. I said, no. Not somebody that has sinned to this extent. Then, I was looking through different churches, and I picked a particular church. And as I wanted to say that, God said to me, practically shouted, don't do that! So I paused. I thought again. I looked through the churches. I said, this person needs where they will teach real holiness. I thought again. I still couldn't find a better church. So I said, Father, I'll be discussing this with you. And I referred her to that church. Even though God has said, don't do it. But I thought, I couldn't find a better this thing. He didn't tell me which other place. He only said, don't do. If God says, don't do, then don't do now. Am I correct? So why do you people, why do you disobey? Okay? So I sent her to that place. Then, the following day, I was actually waking from sleep. And I opened my eyes. And there was Jesus. Oh my goodness. The fire in his eyes. I started shivering. I'd never heard that anybody would shiver at seeing Jesus. The fire in his eyes. And he said to me, you sent her to the midst of doctrines of devils? I said, no, sir. No. Then I mentioned his name of the church. That's where I sent her to, please. Doctrines of devils. Me. I will never do that, oh. He repeated that. You sent her to the midst of doctrines of devils? No. I mentioned the name of the church. He now said, okay. Have you heard this before? And that's why I'm telling you this story. Have you heard this before? That when you sin, you lose your salvation. One. You lose your sanctification. Two. You lose the Holy Spirit baptism. Three. Have you heard that before? I said, yes. He said, what kind of doctrine is that? Do you understand what I'm saying? What kind of doctrine is that, please? Now I'm asking you. What kind of doctrine is that? Is it true? Is it true? It makes vain the fact that the Father forsook the Son and put all our sin on him, that we might be called the righteousness of God. It annuls the cross. It was not only the physical death, because whether he did the physical death on the cross or not, he would not have lived forever, because he was Son of Man. And Son of Man will always die. That biggest price was that cutting off, that separation. Because of sin, the Father separated from the Son as punishment for our sin. No, it is a doctrine of devils to say that when you sin, you lose those things. It's just a lie. We are not saved by works. If works was enough, then we didn't need Jesus. Is that not true? Is that not true? People were doing works before Jesus now. People were doing works before Jesus. So, understand that the full price for our sin was paid. Some people, when they talk about making heaven, they are talking about their good works. It's a lie. By the works of the law shall no man be saved. It's a lie. So I instantly repented. I said, I'm sorry, sir. I am sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I should have listened. I'm sorry. You know, our human judgment, glory be to God. I did not need to understand to obey. Did you hear that? You don't need to understand to obey. I disobeyed because I did not understand. That was not an acceptable excuse. That was not an acceptable excuse. Quite a long time ago, a friend wanted to do a contract, and he needed a lot of dollars, and he came to borrow money from me, and I had it. As I was about to give him the money, God said to me, don't do it. So I said to him, God said I should not give you this money. I said, it means we have to package this thing very carefully so that this money will not be lost. Is that the meaning of don't do it? Is that the meaning of don't do it? He did not say package it well. So I sat down, packaged it well, and gave him the money. I think this thing happened in 1982 or... No. It's 85 or 86. From that time till now, zero. You know zero? Like this. Zero. 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 I packaged everything very well. The transaction went well. He did the contract. He was paid the full money. We were supposed to share the profit. Not because I was interested in the profit, it was because I wanted to help him. And it would be a breakthrough for him. And he really, really broke through and has never looked back since then. He's fantastically rich. Okay? But I did not get a kobo. And I was following up. At a time, because he was now not living in Nigeria, send me details. What happened? He wrote a long letter. In all that letter, there was still nothing wrong. Transaction didn't go wrong. Profit was fully made. Transaction fully done. Payment fully received. I did not get a kobo till today. What was the instruction? Don't give him. Amen? There are many things you want to do. They can look right. They can look the correct thing to do. God says don't do. Please don't do. Don't do. We are talking about surprises. Why did Jesus pick Judas? He said, did I not pick you 12? And is not one of you a devil? People that knew Judas well, they'd be saying to themselves, this prophet, he's not very sharp. He's not very sharp. If he was sharp, there's no way he would have picked Jesus, picked Judas. Now make it worse. What position did he give Judas? Treasurer. You put a thief in charge of the money. God's wisdom is totally different from our own. Like Jesus said, the Son can do nothing but that which he sees the Father do. I didn't read that to us, but CMM, you have it. If you have it, you can see. The Son can do nothing but that which he sees the Father do. Just keep looking at God and follow what he sees. whether you are surprised or not, whether you understand or not, keep looking at God. If you don't know how to look at God, then you can't look at God now. Abi? Eh? You don't sharpen your sword as a soldier on the battlefield, right? Because while you are sharpening it, then they will kill you. You sharpen your sword before you get to the battlefront. Go and start saying to it that you can look at God and see what he is saying, what he is doing, what he is requiring of you. You should know at all times. What is requiring of you, you should know at all times so that you do not get into trouble. One time, this was in the 70s. I think to be precise, this was 1976. I was in university. We went to do village evangelism and we were coming back for village evangelism. And some people said, they have to pee you. It was night. It was probably around 9 or 10. But traveling from the village, we were traveling back to campus. We had our own fellowship bus. And when we got down, some of us said that, oh yeah, let's go and pee. And then as I was going, God said, stop! I said, yes, sir. Why am I stopping? He said, peace there. Excuse me, sir. Can you see the girls there? The girls are close by. He said, don't go beyond that place. I said, excuse me, sir. It's not decent to be pissing where the girls can see me now. Am I right? Am I right? You're on my side. Now you've changed. Are you on my side? Yes, you're on my side. So I said, I can't though. As I was about to start moving away, but still doubting, I said, God said, whatever you are doing, do it here. As I began to move away, he now opened my eyes. You know what I saw? There was like, you know, when you have a bowl upside down. There was like a bowl upside down, and it was fire. Outside it were very angry fallen angels that were very sad at what we had achieved at the crusade. Because the crusades, God really, really moved. And there was a whole lot of fight during the crusades. I myself, I saw win. Maybe some other time I'll tell you some of the things that I saw. But they were vicious. They were very annoyed. They were waiting for who we crossed outside that line of fire. They would have attacked the person, anything would have happened. You understand? And I had almost done it before God opened my eyes and I saw it. I moved back. I even moved closer to where they were, the girls I was avoiding, and I began to pee there. Maybe I turned my back to them, Abby. Uh-huh. So you know what the guy is doing. And not terrible. It's not something that had not been done before. What if God had not opened my eyes? There are some prizes that we pay. There are some prizes that we pay because we are not looking at God. We are not checking out from him. Are you following me? We are not checking out on him. You don't have to understand it. I've learned my lesson now. Because from many of the things that I've said now, some of you are saying to yourself, this man know they hear word. Are you one of those? Raise up your hand. You have said to yourself, this man know they hear word. You people are not spiritual. Okay, yes. That's someone that I raised their hand. So yes, this man know they hear word. That was in those days. I've learned now, whether I understand or not, whether I understand or not, I don't know why I'm going to these levels. These are not the things that I plan, but I think these are the things that God wants me to say. There was one of my boys in the schools where I used to go and minister. He was living in Abeokuta. He now traveled to Lagos to come and tell me, bro, come and see the kind of woes that happened to me. And he was telling me those woes. So I made arrangements to help him. And you know what God said to me? God said, do not lift a finger to help this guy. If you do, all those his woes will alight on you. A child of God? Did I tell him that? I didn't tell him that. I just said, but I didn't help him. I got home, I told my wife. I said, can you imagine that after all these calamities, God stopped me from helping this guy? And she was also surprised. Then about 6 to 9 months after, he came again. The plan was to come see me. This was 1989. We didn't have cell phones at that time. And he had no access. I had a phone at home. I had a phone in the office, but he had no access to those phones. So he had to physically come. So he came again. It was a terribly busy day for me in the office. So I did not have a minute to see him until past 8 in the evening. And then there were those stories again. And then it was not too late for him to go back to his place. So what are we going to do? I took him to my house. The moment my wife saw him, she pulled me aside. She said, is this not the guy God said you should not lift a finger to help? I said, yes, it's him. But what can I do now? What can I do now? Where would he sleep? He has to go to sleep. Okay, no problem. My guest room was occupied. We had a guest. And everywhere was rugged. Every inch of that house was rugged. So, see you. Please sleep here. We left him in the parlor downstairs between the dining room and the wall. Nobody would know that somebody was there. When we woke in the morning, what happened? Our house had been burgled. My electronics were about the best there was at that time. Everything had been cleared. My wife won many medals. She had about between 5 and 7 medals that we hung in the parlor. They were gone. The sheer number of things that before that time, we were living at Ikoyi then, off Aulo Road. It was my house alone that had never been burgled on our street. For some reason, whenever they come to burgle, they skipped my house. The first time and the only time that guy was there, my house was the only house that they burgled. They burgled with him there. He did not wake. So when he woke in the morning, he said, why would bro come and do this kind of cleaning at night? Why not during the day? I would even have helped him. Okay? So I got into trouble. How could I have prevented that double trouble? I don't know. But something I learned recently, because, some months ago, I was blaming God. You didn't tell me about this one. You didn't tell me about that one. And I said, when did you ask me?
And I looked.
I didn't recognize up to that time that all I kept saying was, I didn't know. I never asked him. Are you hearing me? Eh? Please keep looking at God and listen to what he says. Listen. You don't have to understand to follow him. You don't have to understand to worship aright. You know, my greatest respect for Job was that in the midst of all his calamities, he said, I know my Redeemer liveth, and that he will one day stand upon the earth. How did that come to him in the midst of all that thing? How? That is the difference between children and adults. Job had a sound understanding of God. When you do not understand the plan, focus on and trust the planner. Focus on and trust the planner. Not long ago, I was telling God, I don't understand this thing. I don't understand this thing. I know I don't understand. I heard you, but I don't understand. And he said, I did not call you to understand all things. So, is that true or is not true? Eh? I didn't call you to understand all things. So, we are to worship, not to understand all things. We are to know, we are to trust. We are to submit to him. We are not required to understand everything. Don't break your head. Don't break your head trying to understand everything. It is okay for you not to understand some things. I hope many of you know that Jesus said that as for his coming back, nobody knows when. The angels don't. Even the Son does not. Only the Father does. Only the Father does. You should bow down and worship God for who he is. See what he's saying about a matter. About any matter. See what he is saying. See where he is on it. Even when you don't understand it. No matter how surprised you are, stick with God. You know that before Job's problems were turned around, God spoke to him. Remember? Yes? God spoke to him. He saw God. And he had God physically. Did you notice it? Did you notice it? So God now explained to him what happened. Is that correct? That's not a rhetorical question. What an answer. When God spoke to Job, did God explain to him what happened? God did not explain to him. He just talked about himself. Himself. Not your understanding of the circumstance. He talked about himself. The details of what happened, God revealed later to the writer of the scripture through the Holy Spirit. He did not explain it to Job. He did not explain it to Job. How many of you read it where God explained to Joseph? Oh, Joseph, my boy. You know you are in prison because I'm taking you to the palace. Did you read it? Eh? How much did Joseph know? But you know what? Joseph remained faithful to God throughout. In the house of Potiphar, he could have said, I don't want trouble with Madame. Let me do her biddings. He said, no, I can't do this against God. And I can't do this against my master. That was faithfulness. Faithfulness to man. Faithfulness to God. Be faithful where you are. Even if you are paying prices. What got John the Baptist into trouble? Hey, you. It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. What's your problem? The man said, I mean, they talk to him like that. Hey, guys, bundle him. Take him to the prison. Who are you to tell me who to marry? What's your problem? Are you my father or my mother or my judge? Who are you? Yes? That's what got him into trouble. It was not for his personal gain. He was a preacher of righteousness. Bring forth fruit worthy of repentance. Who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? He was a firebrand. Be faithful. We've seen how Jesus was surprised. John the Baptist was incredibly surprised. Why are you not coming to help me? Don't you care what I'm going through? I've seen you escape the people that wanted to kill you. You just passed through the midst of them. Why are you not using the same power to deliver me? Why are you not using the same power? Excuse me, are you the one, or do we wait for another? This was the person whose life's mission was to reveal Christ to the world. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. That was his job. God had told him how to recognize the Messiah. Everything had happened. And Jesus now said, among other things, he said, tell him the things that you see. That is, show him that the scriptures are still working as they said they will work. And that I am still faithful as I am. But blessed is he whosoever shall not be what? Shall not be what? Offended in me. If you really know God, you cannot be offended in God. You cannot be offended in God. Someone close to me in those days was told that Christians must cover their hair every time. And that thing was itching her in the head. And she would be, you know, she was very uncomfortable. You know what she was telling God? Father, so this hair that I've covered now and is harassing me, what good is it doing to you? Eh? Excuse me, sir. You should have been too big for this. Oh. Why are you enjoying my suffering? We should cover our head. How does that help you? How does that help you? And I was saying to her, oh, my liar. Oh, my liar. But the fact was that she was wrong. She had been misled. But she was offended at God for what God was not responsible for. I mean, was it God that said she should do that? It's human beings. So you human beings, be careful not to place burdens on people that God did not place on them. Nobody sent you. Nobody sent you. Hallelujah. Brethren, God promised Abraham a child at 75. At 75, he had already concluded that this Eliezer of Damascus will be my successor. Abi? God now asked him, who told you that this will be your successor? Many of the logical conclusions that we are reaching, they are not from God. They are not from God. Who told you? He said, well, seeing that you have not given me a son, okay, I will give you now. I'll give you 75. By age 99, 24 years after, still no child. Is that surprising? Is it surprising? Okay. Is it now logical for Abraham to now conclude that, okay, definitely, he has no plans to give me a child? Is that not logical? Talk to me. Is it not logical? Would you not reach that same conclusion? But God said that your wife, Sarah, she will still have, when Sarah had, she laughed. And God said, why did you laugh? He said, I didn't laugh, oh. I didn't laugh, sir. Ah, Mike, who brought me to laugh? I didn't laugh. God said, you laughed. But then that son still came. Amen. That son still came. Why does God do those things? I don't know. But God is God. One thing I used to say, if Sarah were to watch what happened, because Sarah, one question she asked God is that, my Lord, being old, shall he still do that thing? You know what I mean? Being old, shall he still do that thing? And me, it has ceased to be with me after the manner of women. Abi? She was saying, shall my Lord still do that thing? Well, God made her Lord be able to do that thing. Her Lord did that thing, and they had that son. Then later, she died. When she died, that son was still, I think Abraham lived until 186 years old or so. Who knows? Abraham lived very long ago. After that son became an adult, Abraham now married Keturah. Do you know that Keturah had 6 sons for Abraham? The same Abraham that has stopped action 30, 40, 50 years ago. People, sit down and trust God. It's going to happen. Many of the things that God has promised you that look like it's too late, it can't happen anymore. You'll be shocked. You will be shocked. Because I don't know how Abraham was able to still acquire a wife that could have children and still had so many children. I think the Midians are children of Abraham too. It's not only the Arabs and the Jews that are children of Abraham. There are so many children of Abraham after that Isaac that came too late. That came too late. Jesus was surprised. John the Baptist was surprised. Abraham. Joseph. The brothers of Joseph. Oh, you will see things that will surprise you. But God will remain God. God remains God no matter what, and he does not owe anybody any excuse. He has never owed anybody any excuse. Never. Never. God doesn't owe you an explanation. But many times, he gives us explanations. Most of the time, I ask God to explain to me what is happening. He always did. He always did. Somebody close to me, a few months ago, God said to me, tell her, I will kill her this year. Unless she backs down from some things that she's doing. Tell her, call her now, I will kill her this year. When I told her that, because she had seen many cases in the past in which God would tell me similar things, and it would happen like that, she said, you have told God to kill me. You have told God to kill me. I said, me? How do I know what you are doing? How do I know something? How can I tell God to kill? Am I the God's instructor? Why are you saying, I told God to kill you? You better go and address those things, oh. You better go and address them, oh. Go and look for a man of God and confess those things and get back and come down. She said, where is she going to start from? Where is she going to start from? Oh, she doesn't live in Nigeria. And I said, come, I led you to Christ. Tell me. She said, please, allow me to go and look for somebody. I promise you, I will look for somebody. Please. I said, no, I've changed my mind. Maybe I was the one that said she look for somebody. Tell me. Hi. She begged. I said, tell me. By the time she told me two things, two separate unrelated things that she had been doing, each of them was enough for God to kill you for. Each of them was enough for God to kill you for. And I would never have believed, if not that she was the one that was telling me. In fact, if people say, I saw her, this, I will not accept. But she said it by herself. Oh. Thank God now. Mission accomplished. She has completely backed down. She's fully restored. She's in fact, she's blazing hot as she used to be donkey years ago. I'm talking of somebody that had been born again about 40 years ago. You understand? Look at God. Listen to Him. Are you following me? Follow His instructions. Don't give this money to this person. Don't give him. Don't lift a finger to help this person. Don't lift it. Don't marry this person. Don't marry that person. Don't do it. You don't need to understand to obey. Excuse me. If it was you, and God said, let's say your name is Wale. Wale, say, sir. Today, my appetite is for roasted son. Take your son, your only son, go and offer him to me. And you say, now I know that you are not good. God does not accept human sacrifice. Now I know that you are not God. Is that logical, please? It's very logical. It's very logical. If you come to tell me and say, God said this to me, I will say it's not God that said it. Does that mean I'm correct? Does that mean I'm correct? Why did Abraham not fall for that line? Because he knew God. He knew the voice of God. He recognized when it is that God is the one that speaks. Is that clear? Please, if there's nothing you take from this session, it should be this. Go and stay so close to God that you are clear what God is saying. Did you hear me? That you are clear what God is saying. I might have died playing decent boy. This is too close to the girls. I'm actually pressed, so I have to pee. It's too close to the girls. A question is valid. Excuse me, Lord, why didn't you shift that arrow of fire, that bowl of fire that's protecting us? Why didn't you widen it? Is that a logical question? Eh? I mean, widen it to a distance that is decent for poor innocent boy to start pissing now? You understand? Eh? Did I ask God that? Did I ask him that?
No.
No, I did not ask him, because he knows what he's doing and I'm not his teacher. Sometimes he will do it differently from your imagination. End of story. It's his right. It is his right. Let him be. Let him do it the way he wants to do it. Amen. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You will know the voice of God. You will recognize the voice of God. When God has unusual assignments that only those that know him well can run that assignment, you will be found worthy. God will trust you. He will trust you with things that are important to him. You will not flinch or doubt at the critical moment. You will not make the error of John the Baptist. When you don't understand the planner, when you don't understand the plan, you will trust the planner completely. Unlike John the Baptist, you will not be offended in God. You will not be offended in God. You will not let the circumstances of what you see, you will not let the storm and the wind cause you that while walking on water to start sinking. You will not sink. You will continue to walk on water. The desire and the purpose and plan of God will prosper in your hands. In the name of Jesus. Can I ask us to stand up, please? Glory be to God. Let's just pray in the spirit, please. Just pray in the spirit. Just pray in the spirit, please. Hey, pray for yourself that God will draw you closer into his chambers. That God will draw you closer into his chambers. That in seeing, you will see him clearly. In hearing, you will hear him clearly. Oh, we mono me ye ebile. Marume. Keep on praying. Yes.
Shende de be de boko soita liba halika yende de boshidi kate mazanta la bahiande ke shende kete. Even as we keep praying, as we are trusting God and praying, where I want to just give us an opportunity. You know, if you are here, you know that yours is not just about drawing close to God, but the very first step is that you want to give your life to Christ. You want to admit that, God, I'm not working with you, but I want to change all of that. If you are here and you know that's your situation, please just raise up your hand wherever you are. We just want to pray with you. You want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Or perhaps maybe you've been born again in the past, but you know that you have backslided. You know, but you want to retrace your steps. You also have the opportunity. Just raise up your hand wherever you are, and we'll pray with you. Just raise it up above your head. If you are online, you want to give your life to Christ. The instructions are scrolling on the screen. Just indicates, and the online pastors will reach out to you. If you're here physically, you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, just raise up your hand. The rest of us, let's keep praying. Let's ask God to draw us nearer to Him. Nearer to Him. Maholi bahashianda bahata. That we will begin to hear as we ought to hear. We begin to see as we ought to see. Mahinda hali bahashialikati. Kinde brukoshiende kete debedebo. One final call. One final opportunity. If you are here, you want to give your life to Christ, just raise up your hand above your head. Let us see you. We'll pray with you, and that's it. Father, we want to say thank you, Lord. Oh, Father, we thank you, Lord. We bless your name. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that as many as are here hearing these words and are yielding ourselves to you, Father, we ask, O God, that you would draw us closer to you in the name of Jesus. Help us to hear as we ought to hear. Help us to begin to see as we ought to see. Help us to be able to trust you fully in the mighty name of Jesus. Even when we don't understand the plan, but Lord, help us to be able to trust you fully as the planner in the mighty name of Jesus. Teach us, O God, yourself today in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, everlasting Father. We give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Everybody, let's just say God bless Reverend Colley. Thank you very much, sir. God bless you, sir.